Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. In an episode last week, I very briefly mentioned the idea of superbugs and antibiotic resistance being created because of the amount of antibiotics that we're releasing into waterways. That was a very specific example of one of the issues that we're facing due to the proliferation of humans on this planet. But interestingly enough, after recording that episode, just the next day, I got an alert on my phone about an article that talked more about antibiotic resistance and a new piece of research that has come out about the future of superbugs and one very specific area they may proliferate in. Now, interestingly, I did a little Google search on this. There are 2 other articles that have come out just in the last week or two, giving insight into 2 new pieces of research on top of the other one I just mentioned, describing even more discoveries around superbugs, around antibiotic resistance, and the way that Collapse is increasing those. I thought this was so interesting. 3 separate pieces of research, all coming out within just a few weeks of each other. None of these articles mention each other, but all 3 describe the future that we're heading into and the effect of Collapse on antibiotic resistance. Now, you might hear that and be like, antibiotic resistance, that's such an oddly specific and seemingly minimal thing to talk about. Well, if you're not familiar with the idea of superbugs and antibiotic resistance, it's important to understand the effect that antibiotics have had on humanity since their discovery. This first article that I'm going to read from is from the Austin Chronicle. It's titled, "The Cost of War We Aren't Talking About, Superbugs." All right, so this is the first of the 3 pieces of research highlighting these 3 different areas. The first is war. And it starts off by highlighting antibiotics and the importance of them. I'm going to read that really quick just to set the tone for why this is so important. It says, "Humans have not benefited from antibiotics for long in the grand scheme of things. Antibiotics were deployed for the first time in 1910. In the century since, antibiotics have extended the average human lifespan by more than 20 years. It is not hard to understand why. Anyone who has survived pneumonia, undergone a surgery, or taken pills to beat strep throat may owe their life to antibiotics." Another piece of data I saw said that antibiotics would likely save 100 million lives between now and 2050. Extending lifespans by 20 years, that is adding another, 30% to most people's lives, simply through the discovery of this one medication, or type of medication. However, the article goes on to say, "Now we face the possibility of a post-antibiotic era. Superbugs, like those breeding in Gaza, don't respond to drugs, and they certainly don't respect national borders." Quote, "War does more than just destroy buildings and kill people. It creates superbugs that will haunt us for the rest of our lives all across the world," said Antoine Abu Fayyad, a microbiologist and speaker on South by Southwest's conflict contagion, the new AMR threat. AMR is antimicrobial resistance. So, Abu Fayyad has a warning for humanity and data to back it up. Antibiotic-resistant bacteria are multiplying at staggering rates in conflict zones. Some are completely untreatable by existing antibiotics. He fears the result will be an existential turn in human health, back to an era where simple paper cuts are deadly or require amputation. Quote, "Are we willing to sacrifice that many souls, that many people? And the thing with antimicrobial resistance is, regardless of where you live, nobody is safe." Since 2017, Abu Fayyad has worked in a lab at the American University of Beirut, studying bacteria samples from Lebanon. He receives vials from regional hospitals and bacteria growing on bullet casings. Of the bacteria he examines, some are easy to kill, others are resistant to a few drugs, and some are impossible to kill with any known antibiotics. When he started, these super strong, totally resistant bugs used to pop up in samples about once per month. Now, he said, he gets these samples once per day, and sometimes more often. "The spike is astonishing, and it's not a temporary issue. Unlike viruses, which rely on animal cells to survive, bacteria can live and multiply on their own for a long time while hiding in the soil. Unless new antibiotics that can knock out these powerful new strains are rapidly developed, this is going to be the norm. Going on, talking specifically about conflict zones, it says they create perfect breeding grounds for superbugs. Cities under bombardment are full of open wounds, disrupted and dirty plumbing systems, and nearly expired antibiotics that are donated as aid. Infections from wounds abound. Then, when antibiotics are used in a frenzy before they are set to expire, they can do more harm than good, killing off only the weakest germs and leaving the strongest ones behind to become harder to beat strains. I'm going to stop there for a moment. That's fascinating to me. I'd never considered that. In a war zone, a ton of aid is needed. What is being sent there? Not the newest, best antibiotics, but the oldest ones that are about to expire. And so as people take these, it kills off some of the germs, but the stronger germs learn how to resist against it. And as they learn how to resist against it, they become stronger and stronger to the point where not even the newest, nicest, shiniest antibiotics are able to defeat them. The article says, but there's another big problem in war zones that the microbiologist says is too often overlooked. Heavy metals. These metals, like copper and lead, naturally kill bacteria. When an area is full of metals, like those from bombshells, it leaches into the soil where bacteria lay. There, the metals kill off the weakest bacteria, leaving behind the stronger microbes. So we're basically talking about a survival of the fittest, sort of rapid advancement of evolution. We're creating an environment in which the strongest can survive and proliferate quickly because they are faced with some of the harshest challenges. Because it's so densely happening in these conflict zones, it creates these stronger and stronger bacteria, which are infecting more people, showing up more often in the samples, and becoming harder to defeat. And hey, what do you know? We're creating more and more war zones every day. We're entering into an era in which war zones or conflict zones maybe become a persistent part of life in many parts of the world. And in so doing, we are increasing the chances of these superbugs and their ability to move outside those conflict zones and make ineffective our current antibiotic environment. The article ends by saying, with so many wounds and so much heavy metal in places like Gaza, Abu Fayyad wants to urge governments and companies worldwide to do at least three things. First, maintain the effectiveness of antibiotics by limiting how often they're prescribed, so bacteria don't evolve resistance to them. Second, create new antibiotics by increasing funding to discover and develop new drugs. And third, stop war. Quote, the human race always came back from difficulties and problems with a better way. There we see the classic optimistic ending to these articles. He makes these claims, these requests, essentially. As we all know, those claims are going to go unheard. Well, moving on to the next. Again, completely separate piece of research, talking about yet another way in which these antibiotic-resistant superbugs can proliferate. This is from livescience.com, and it says, drought could fuel the rise of antibiotic-resistant superbugs as climate change worsens, new research suggests. The subhead says, a warming world may see more antibiotic-resistant bacteria, according to research that shows a link between aridity and antibiotic resistance today. A study of soil microbes showed that drought favors the microorganisms that survive antibiotics. It also found that some of the genes for resistance in soil-dwelling bacteria show up in antibiotic-resistant pathogen samples collected from hospital patients. Because bacteria can easily swap big chunks of genetic information, a process called horizontal gene transfer, any increase in resistance in soil-inhabiting microbes can easily make its way to microbes that infect humans. This according to the study authors. Quote, no place is immune, said Diane Newman, the study's senior author and biologist at Caltech. If you have a pathogen arise in one part of the world, it very quickly spreads, so this is something of concern regardless of where you live. One thing that's interesting to note is that both of these articles and quotes from their authors, or the authors of the studies, make specific remarks around it doesn't matter where you live, nobody is safe. Just because you're not in that war zone, or just because you're not in that area, does not mean that these superbugs won't affect you. Once they proliferate, they will spread across the globe. The Life Science article continues saying, antibiotic resistance is already a major health problem, with the World Health Organization estimating that antibiotic-resistant pathogens directly caused 1.27 million deaths per year as of 2019 and contributed to another 4.95 million. While antibiotics kill microbes, the drugs people use in the clinic are also derived from microbes, or fungi such as the famous case of penicillin. Microbes synthesize antibiotics as part of an evolutionary arms with other microbes. aiming to kill any potential competitors or threats. One of the major battlegrounds for this evolutionary warfare is in soil. Newman and the new study's first author, Caltech postdoctoral researcher Xiao Shan, and I know that I'm not saying that right, first uncovered a hint that drought could worsen antibiotic resistance. In a set of 5 metagenomics databases that gather soil microbe genetic information from different environments or on continents around the world, some of these databases included samples from the same sites before and after drought. In every case, the researchers found antibiotic synthesis genes were more prevalent after a dry period and less prevalent after a drought ended. Quote, you see this in croplands, in grasslands, in forests, in wetlands in the U.S., in China, in Switzerland, Newman told Life Science. Anyway, I'm not going to go through the rest of the paper. I'll link it here. But essentially, as things dry out, the likelihood of growing more superbugs is rising. And I think we can, with much confidence, say many areas of the world will be heading into more drought. All right, now the third of these articles, highlighting new research, says this. Expert reaction, soils exposed to glyphosate may also be harboring hospital superbugs. This is according to SciMex. So in this case, we're still talking about soils, but ones that are being touched not necessarily by climate change, but by humans through our agricultural processes. So according to the news release, it says, use of controversial weed killer inadvertently selects for drug-resistant bacteria that can spread to hospitals. Agricultural soils exposed to glyphosate may be unexpected breeding ground for hospital superbugs. In October 2025, the WHO again sounded the alarm on the emergence of multidrug-resistant bacteria in hospitals around the world. Researchers have now found evidence that the use of weed killers, in particular glyphosate, can drive the evolution of antimicrobial resistance in soil bacteria as a side effect of developing resistance to the weed killer itself. They hypothesize that resistant bacteria can be transmitted between hospitals and impacted soils in both directions through wastewater and other environmental pathways. Quote, here we show that the most common species of multidrug-resistant bacteria from hospitals are not only resistant to multiple antibiotic classes, but also to high concentrations of the weed killer glyphosate, said Dr. Daniela Centrone, a researcher at the Institute of Medical Microbiology and Parasitology in Buenos Aires and the senior author of the study. These results suggest that weed killers, which, unlike antibiotics, are widely applied in agricultural environments, may have the unintended side effect of selecting for AMR among bacterial communities within the soil. Now, one thing that's interesting here is they highlight that it moves through wastewater. It talks a little bit about the way that they tested this. They compared results from the different strains, ones that were isolated from feedlots where glyphosate was present, others that were present in those areas. It says, as expected, the hospital strains were each resistant to between 1 and 16 of the antibiotics tested, confirming widespread AMR. Worryingly, 74% were resistant to carbapenems, broad-spectrum antibiotics commonly used as a treatment of last resort. Importantly, all hospital strains also proved highly resistant to glyphosate and glyphosate-based weed killers. Quote, this means that if these bacteria enter the environment through untreated wastewater from hospitals, they could go on to thrive in agricultural areas where glyphosate is used. It later highlights that the water cycle plays a key role in this transmission. Now, glyphosate, it says, is not without controversy as is. It is known to harm arthropods like bees, while the International Agency for Research on Cancer has classified it as a probable human carcinogen. Now, there are certain countries, France, Belgium, and the Netherlands, that have banned its use, while Germany currently prohibits its use in public spaces. Now, is it banned in the United States, you ask? Of course not. It is the most widely used herbicide in the United States, with over 280 million pounds applied annually to about 298 million acres of cropland. It's used in agriculture for soybeans, corn, cotton, and it is common in residential, industrial, and government landscaping. There is an interesting map I found on NBC News that shows glyphosate usage in the U.S. I will post that here. You can see how highly it is used by county. Again, though, it doesn't matter where you live. These are areas in which it can proliferate, it can grow and breed, but it will quickly make its way to wherever it wants and needs to go outside of those areas. We have talked here about 3 different ways in which superbugs are growing, and all 3 are becoming more common as we sink further into collapse. These are not the only ways. We talk in the past about agriculture and the way that we do our modern agriculture and how we pump our animals livestock full of antibiotics and how that creates breeding grounds for this. Doctors are prescribing antibiotics more and more frequently. This is a known threat. It's just one that continues to grow, and we're learning more about how the practices that we are more consistently engaging in are causing this to happen with more certainty. The first article talked about a post-antibiotic world, and we have to really, really hope that that is not something that comes anytime soon. One last article that I'll just briefly mention here was from theguardian.com, and it's titled, "Pipeline of New Drugs to Fight Superbugs is Worryingly Thin, Experts Warn." It says, "The pipeline of new drugs to fight superbugs remains worryingly thin and has shrunk by 35% in the last 5 years, experts have said, predicting the annual number of deaths linked to drug-resistant infections globally will double to 8 million by 2050. The number of antimicrobial projects from large pharma companies has shrunk by 35% over the past 5 years, from 92 to 60 medicines in development. Only 5 medicines are in development for children under 5 who are more vulnerable to infections. Quote, overall, the research and development pipeline remains worryingly thin, and industry investment has lost momentum. She described drug resistance as the biggest single threat to healthcare worldwide. So not only are we increasing the chances and the proliferation of AMR, but we are also decreasing the amount of research and new drugs being created to fight it. Of hundreds of episodes done on this podcast, really only one has ever been about superbugs and antimicrobial resistance. But here we are, talking about it, realizing it, that it is just another bit of gas to throw on the fire. One more thing to be concerned about as we continue down this catabolic collapse pathway. If that didn't cheer up your day, I don't know what will. Go do something fun. We'll see you tomorrow.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Und unser Gewinner hat 0 Richtige! Bei der Zahlenlotterie Keno ist man auch mit 0 ein Gewinner. Denn bei Keno Typ 8, 9 und 10 gewinnt, wer keine der gezogenen Gewinnzahlen richtig hat. Jeden Tag die Chance auf einen Treffer. Keno, die tägliche Zahlenlotterie. In jeder Lottoannahmestelle und auf lottobayern.de. Lotto Bayern, nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen. Hilfe unter bjuk.de.
Es gibt Tage, da geht einfach alles schief. Im Autoverkehr. Im Porzellanladen. Sogar im eigenen Garten. In solchen Fällen ist es gut, eine gute Versicherung zu haben. Gut im Preis und gut in der Leistung. So wie die WGV. Jetzt zur WGV wechseln und sparen. WGV. Gut versichert und gut ist.
Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.